hilltops of glory land. Amen. That was some lively singing that we were doing. Praise the Lord. Singing church. We're delighted that God has watched over us, brought us again to this place so that we might come together, fellowship one with another, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I want to encourage our members to make some phone calls when you go home tonight. We didn't see you in church tonight, so make some phone calls. Make heaven your eternal home of abode. This is the Lord's day, and we want Him to be pleased with our activities on His special day. Amen. But every day, we want to live in such a way that God will be well pleased, so that we might make heaven our eternal home of abode. That other place, you don't want to ever go there. Men relate home and heaven. That's what we want to talk about for a few minutes. Home and heaven. The only heaven that some people will ever know is their physical home on planet Earth. You've often heard the expression, made heaven on earth, in reference to our physical home down here. Home has the possibility and the capability of having the finest experience for human beings on planet Earth. Writers written about it, talked about it, written songs regarding it. We often sang a song that called, I think, Oh, They Tell Me of a Home Far Away Beyond the Sky. And this world is not my home. It is another example of our Heavenly Father of planning for us a way of introducing us in many, many different ways to study His Bible, homes, because some of songs are that some folk think I can't sing. But you don't go by what some folk think. When it comes to my singing, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with at home with the Lord. And also in John chapter 14 and verse 2, we read of the house of many mansions. In my Father's house are many mansions, or many rooms. These are just a few scriptural references which indicate that heaven is a home, and we want to make heaven our home as we labor here on planet Earth. Our divine Heavenly Father is in every home that is a home. The hand of God operates every time a child is born into a home. Regardless of what type of home it is, God has made an entrance there. From this we see the grace of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. God extends His love and grace and mercy even to those who are some of the vilest sinner, giving them life daily on His planet Earth. The Christian home, could well be called the womb of God. Why? Because from this home, the Christian home, comes trained children who know how to respect, regard, and serve God. The environment of a good home is one of peace, joy, and happiness, love, patience, and understanding. Again, the environment of a good home is one of peace, joy, love, patience, and that seems to be a difficult thing because we're dealing with so many different problems in this country called America. And it's even worse in some of the foreign countries. There is no organization, there is no institution on earth so favorably equipped as the home to provide one with security, comfort, rest, and love. A home. One should be able to get peace. One should be able to get understanding and love in a Christian home, even when it may not come from any other source. Jesus enjoyed being in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You remember that? He enjoyed being in their home. It was such a godly home. Prayerfully, that is the case with those who love God, and that is the case of those who work and worship in this congregation. A Christian is a joy to be with because the conduct, their character, and their love of God. And just watching and listening and hearing, it gives inspiration to you. And you endeavor to live the same way and give inspiration to others. But what kind of situation and circumstance it is when we do like we do and treat God like we treat God? Do you remember the approximate number of people that were in the audience this morning? God can see too. God knows everything. He's everywhere. And if we only have half time for him, guess what? He knows how to have half time with us. Or no time. A Christian home is a joyful home. Some homes are filled with strife, torn. Why? Because there is little love in that home. No one has to tell you about a home where there is no love. You don't have to ask any questions because the atmosphere tells you when you get into a home where there is a lack of that thing that's called love. Our homes compare to no measure. Our homes compare in no measure with heaven itself. But it is a prelude to heaven and should give us a prelude of what heaven is going to be like, so that we can say, heaven is going to be better than this. I'm going to live my life in such a way that God is well pleased, so I can go to heaven. Because we love home that we see, that we have, that we are members of, and God has a better home waiting for us. So the home, a godly home, is an inspiration, especially for sons and daughters of God. The people of God, heaven will be our home if we live our lives in the home and when we leave the home. The people of God, heaven is life filled with pleasures, joy, happiness, and something far better. That is that relationship with God. It takes a lot of faith, and it takes a lot of spiritual inspiration to look forward to a home better than when you come from a godly home. You come from a godly home, I love this, and heaven is better than this, I want to make sure I go. Anybody still on the line? Amen. The Christian knows, I said heretofore, that there is nothing on earth that can really compare with what God has waiting for us But having a happy home, a godly home on planet Earth, is motivation to miss that other place. I should say additional motivation to miss that planet, that other place. That's not called heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for we know that if our earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have what? We have a building from God, a house not made with hands. Now watch this next word. A house not made with hands. Oh, boy. You love the first part, but you're going to greatly love the next word. Eternal in the heavens. Ain't that good news? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this body, of this tabernacle, be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal, never to leave it in the heavens. And the writer put in the phrase, not made with hands, not made with hands. Woo! In other words, we did not have the mental state of mind to build on earth what God has waiting for us in glory land. And that's motivation, is it not? Amen. That's motivation for us to live right, die right, and go to heaven and live there forever. One day, we must leave this earthly home. This is where we live now. This is our preparation room. Hello? This is our preparation room for when we leave the world. Yep. God was here this morning, and God is here this evening. Seek you first. Well, now, if you do that on Sunday morning, what happens for Sunday night? Today is Sunday, not half day. And we have some churches of Christ that I know of, where they have stopped having evening worship. You can't make folk do. One day, reiterating, we must leave this earthly home. This is our place where we prepare for our heavenly home. Do you want to go? Will you be well prepared to dwell in that heavenly home that God has created for us, waiting for us? In your Bible, in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 21 through 24, the Bible says, for me to live is who? For me to live is Christ, and to what? And to die is gain. For if I live in the flesh, this shall bring fruit from my work. If I live in the flesh, this shall bring fruit from my work. And then what? I shall choose, I know not what. But I am in a strait between a twixt, or between a two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, for it is far better. Yet to abide in the flesh is more needful or more necessary for me to go on living and teaching and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and telling others about this wonderful home that God has prepared for us. And when we reach the point in Christian development that Paul has reached in his development, we will have matured and will continue to dine sumptuously on spiritual meat and not on spiritual leftovers. Paul realized that there was a better home. Not only did he realize that there was a better home, he also realized that I want to go to that better home. It's just that I don't know, I don't think I want to go right now because there's a lot of folk I want to tell about that home. and be an example for them as to how to live that home. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and about verse 6, the time of my departure is at hand. He was sure of where he was going. Paul did not dread being called out of this world. You may remember his, as you've read the Bible and you've read history, the last days of Paul and Peter were spent in the same prison. Their last days on planet Earth. And they wrote letters to different congregations where they had served to encourage them. They're in prison, on death row, and they're in prison writing encouraging letters to congregations because they knew. They knew. What did they knew? They knew that they were walking with the Lord. They knew that they had lived their life and they were living their life in favor with God. Church, when we follow the example of our forerunners who lived the life pleasing to God, we have no fear of death. We sing the song, hold to God's unchanging hand. Live a life happily, joyfully, in favor with God, so that you will always be able, to have confidence and reserve that when I'm called out of this world, I need not to worry, for I have spent my life serving He whom I love. What a wonderful way to live. The last two chapters of the Bible tell us that the heavenly home, let me use this expression, shown off far better than any earthly home could ever hope to be. There will be no, we sing the song, no tears in heaven. There will be no tears there because they will all be wiped away by God Himself. One of life's greatest sorrows in the home here is the tragedy of death. Here. Until the Lord returns, death is inevitable in every family on planet Earth. That's part of life. That's the way it's designed. And that's the avenue of going on to glory land. But in our earthly home, it's different. Where will you spend eternity? Make your calling and election sure. Many homes on earth are blighted with sin. Even in the best of home comes sometimes this intruder. It brings heartache and points out the fallibility of some of our temporal homes. But these sins of sinners can be there. But what a wonderful place heaven is. There will be nobody breaking the rules in glory land. Don't you want to go? There in glory land. God is the Father. We are the children. This glorious connection and perfection will continue forever in glory land. There will be no end of days. There will be no sorrow. Home prepared by God for God's faithful, committed, loyal children who also continue to worship him on Sunday night just as much as they did on Sunday morning. They didn't stop. Homes, godly homes, and godly congregations helps us to have that glorious desire to make our eternal home heaven, regardless of what it takes. The earthly purpose of an earthly home is to get us ready for glory land. It's a vital institution to have a godly home. And godly examples, one of another. How does it look? How does it look when we come to the church house on Sunday morning? And there's folk here, there, and yon. And then night church. And there's some folk here. And the yon's gone. We are helpers one of another. We are to be examples one for another. And encouragers one for another. And why is it so important that you do it on the Lord's Day? Fathers and mothers need to be especially engaged in the training of their children. Reiterating, fathers and mothers should be especially engaged in the training of their children, endeavoring to make sure that they do what? Make heaven their eternal home of abode. Unfortunately, this is not always the case. The home, the godly home, molds the destiny of the child. And hand in hand is working with the church. Training the children to love God, to do what he has commanded, that they may one day, when God calls them to live in another place, they will live in heaven eternally, the heavenly home. Don't you want to go? And sometimes I just read the last two or three chapters of the book of Revelation just to go over what home going to be like. Yes, Lord. And no more sickness. No more even thinking about dying. Oh, church, don't you want to go? We like living. And we can live comfortably forever. No sickness, no problems in glory land. Home, eternal in the heavens with God. That opportunity, we don't have to wish for it. It's already here. This is the way to glory. The members of the Church of Christ, not a church, the Church of Christ. How would we know? God doesn't give us information as to how to establish a different church. He gives us information in his Bible about how the Holy Spirit instructed the apostles and the apostles instructed the world and us regarding the Lord's church. The apostles preached the same gospel all of their life by the power of the Holy Spirit from glory land. How do we dare, as human beings, have the audacity to establish a different church by a different name than the apostles who spoke as the Holy Spirit gave them the words? No, I'm not excited. But it's just amazing how human beings can think that they can do and think better than the apostles who were guided by the Holy Spirit. not their imagination, guided by the Holy Spirit. Church, in closing. Yes, sir. Church, in closing. God has called us through the teaching, preaching of His holy book called the Bible into His family. We are members of the spiritual family of God, the Church of Christ. Our Bible speaks the word. The churches of Christ greet you. We thank God that He has blessed us to have made that decision to live our life according to His instructions in His church, that the apostles established through the preaching of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told them, even though I've been with you 3 years, taught you, don't go anywhere preaching anything. Go to Jerusalem and wait there until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit from God, that will guide you into all truth and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said unto you. So even after all that Jesus had done with those apostles during his 3 years on planet Earth, don't go anywhere preaching any gospel until you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. That will bring to your remembrance all that I have taught you. It's protecting His truth. They followed His instructions. And in Acts chapter 1, what happened? In Acts chapter 1, in Jerusalem, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And to speak with different tongues and others, spoke different languages, that's what that says. They began to preach the gospel. And there were thousands of Jews in Jerusalem on that Sunday. Why? Because they were celebrating another day. And the apostles had the opportunity of preaching the gospel to thousands. And as they spoke, God took the words to everybody in that motley crowd. And we've read it time by times, many, many times. You have read Acts chapter 2. The first time that the gospel was preached in its purity and simplicity by the apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, direct from heaven. And then approximately 3,000, the first time. Read a couple more chapters, you got thousands more. But on that day, approximately 3,000 obeyed the gospel, gave their life to Jesus Christ. That must have taken quite some time to baptize that many people. They probably had a river close by, but they had some water close by. And thousands obeyed the gospel. We have been blessed to hear the gospel, believe it, receive it, and to obey it, and to be members of the Lord's church. Brothers and sisters, let us not grow weary in well-doing. We'd like to see a house full of folk. We're right here tonight. And if the folk that who are members of this congregation showed up tonight, it would be overfull. Why be a member of the Lord's church and go to hell? That doesn't make any kind of sense at all. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Let us, number one, continue to be an example. And number two, continue to encourage others who are members of the body of Christ to be faithful, and also encourage others that you may have the privilege of talking to and sharing the good news of God, sharing with them the one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, that they too might be able to share the glories of God and become members of the Lord's church, live right by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, and die and go to glory land. God will love us, and they will love you too for teaching them His holy and divine word. If you're here tonight and you're a member of the Lord's church, you need to make a confession, do that. If you're here tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ and you want to become a member, it's simple. It is simple. You heard the word. You heard it. Hear it, believe it, receive it, and obey it. Are you willing to do that? Everything else is ready. We can baptize you, what the Bible demands. tonight. We have pre-prepared. Is that a phrase? We have prepared ahead of time for your coming. So the water is already here, already ready. The water is not cold, and the baptismal garments are ready, and the baptizer is ready. The only question mark, amen, is are you ready to be baptized into the body of Christ, making Jesus your Savior, and live according to his instructions? Heaven is guaranteed to be your home and glory land. Ain't that good news? That's just saying that enough, preacher, to be encouraging to me to do what the Bible says to do. Don't put it off, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Hold to God's unchanging hand today. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You're already in the body, and you've disobeyed the Lord openly and publicly. Come tonight. Renew your covenant. Ask your brothers and sisters to pray for your forgiveness. The lesson is yours as we together stand and sing the song that's been selected.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.
Wonderful song, wonderful
things
song.
That are higher, things that are nobler, these have learned my side, and I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Amen.
I am resolved to go to the Savior, leaving my sin and strife. He is the true one,
he
is the just one, he have the words of life, and I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.